Praise God. You can have a seat. I want to open up in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you, to proclaim your name. Father, we do pray that you invade this place, that your Holy Spirit will come down and rain upon us, Lord. Invade us, teach us, rebuke us, do the things he needs to do. Father, and we pray for that, Lord. We sing for that, Lord. We give you the glory for that, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. Father, I lift up the veterans because Veterans Day on Tuesday, Father, but we want to remember the veterans every day, every week, Father. Thank you for those that men and women who have served for our freedom in this great land called America. This great land that you gave to us, Father, that you have increased our awareness of you, Father, where we've built a constitution and a country really based upon you, Father, and your word, Lord, where we learned that the founding fathers fasted and prayed before they got together to put that document together, Father. So I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you didn't get a listening guide, raise your hand because there's a lot of stuff in there today. They're over there on the side. Bill, you missed Holly back there, man. Oh, Tom's got her. Praise God. I get all excited about working on listening guides. I love doing the cover of the listening guide. Guess someone taught me about Google Images, which I think was Elizabeth. That's exciting, man. There's some trash on there that comes up. But anyway. I mean, you got to why you be surprised. This is an ending of a series today, and really it's about faithfulness, because faithfulness is one of my favorite words, because I think God honors faithfulness. There's a verse in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to him must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. And I think of the word diligence, and I think of faithfulness. And I started this series off by talking about how important it is to be faithful to gather together. And I gave you this verse, Ezekiel 20:19-20, I am the Lord your God, follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Keep my Sabbaths holy, that they may be a sign between us. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. So, you know, there were so many scriptures in the Bible about gathering together and honoring the Lord on the Sabbath. And when we come to church, we're doing it because we love him. We're doing it because we want to know more about him. We're doing it because we want to be thankful to him. And it says in there, keep my Sabbaths holy, that they may be a sign between us. So it's a sign. You're showing your neighbor here, you're sitting by, that you love the Lord. You're showing everybody, I want to be faithful to gather together. And then the next week, I talked about being faithful to the Word. So important. You know, Psalm 119:105, your Word is a lamp for my feet and a light unto my path. I love that word. Just praying yesterday morning, I thought about Matthew 7. It's not on the PowerPoint. Matthew 7:13-14, because really, your Christian walk, there's really only two ways you can go. And he, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. I mean, if you want to live your life without God, that road's wide, man. There's a lot of stuff to get involved in. There's a lot of stuff to take you captive, or, you know, to capture your heart, to take you away from the things of God. It's a wide road. But Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That verse bothers me, man, because I think, what does it mean by only a few? You know, what is a few that'll find the way? So it's important to be faithful to the Word. Allow the Word to get a hold of you. The Apostle Peter wrote this in 2 Peter 1:19. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. which means when you open up this book, Peter's telling us it's completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Above all, you must above all, meaning the most important thing in your life, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, and I love what Peter says, but prophets, then he goes, though human, I love that he says that, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You can stand upon those three verses to know that this is the truth, to know that this Bible is the way. We know, you know, the Bible says Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And His Word proclaims that. His Word tells us in our hearts about it. So it's important to gather together. It's important to get into the Word. And then the week after that, I talk about being faithful in Christ Jesus. You know, we looked at all we had that week. We looked at Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 14. And we looked at all the things that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and you want to ever be encouraged, read Ephesians chapter 1 through 3 through 14. It tells you all the things you have because of Christ, all the things you have because of God. And then the week after that, I talked about being faithful in prayer. And we looked at Mark chapter 1, and we saw all the stuff that Jesus did just in one day, because He came to earth here to do His Father's will. He came to earth here to seek and to save that which were lost. In Mark 1:35, it says, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went away to a secluded place, and was praying there. That's the example Jesus had for us. This morning from 9 to 9:30, there was three brothers in there praying for you. Every one of you that came in here today had been prayed for. Every one of you. I mean, Joe Leveling is just laying it out this morning. Just his heart was singing this morning while he was praying, asking the Lord to invade us here and show us His Word, you know, and just, you know, Holy Spirit, just be a part in our lives. In Hebrews 5, 7 through 9, it says, in the days of His flesh, He, talking about Jesus, offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one able to save Him from death. It says He was heard because of His piety. Although He was a son, He learned obedience from the things which He suffered. And having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey Him the source for eternal life. All who obey Him, the source to eternal life. That's the God we serve. That's the Jesus we live for. Last week I talked about being faithful through persecutions. Last week I talked about how us calling ourselves Christians, we're going to be hated in this world. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be targeted. And you see the things going on in the world now, the fruition of what happens when you acknowledge Christ as your Savior. There are people giving their lives every day now in the world because of the name of Christ. And He said that. Jesus warned him in the upper room. It says, these things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. My gosh, that's a message for every week. These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. And then Jesus warned them. He said, they will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering service to God. Can you imagine that? Somebody killing someone else, thinking they're offering a service to God. And we see that being lived out through the group ISIS, through different groups in the Islam faith doing those things. And they think they're doing a service to God. These things they will do, and then He tells us why. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or Me. So pray for those people. Witness to those people. Love on those people. And that's anyone who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. But these things I have spoken to you so that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. So Jesus warned us that this was going to be happening. Now it's happening. So He's requiring us to seek Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength to love Him like that and to take the Word of God and fill ourselves with it and then go out and share the love of Christ with somebody. So those are the things I've been talking about being faithful, because it's so important to be faithful. Today I want to close out this series by sharing with you, to spurring you on to be faithful until the end. Another way to put it is to be sold out. And you're listening, God, I put sold out, which is a thing I got off a Hezekiah Walker CD a few years back. And the verb for sold out means committed, beyond average dedication. An adjective to say what sold out means devoted, loyal, dutiful, faithful. And then when the noun part of that word comes, that's us. That's you. That's why I hope that you will write your name down and say, I want to be sold out to Christ. I want to live for Him. I want to be a part of His will and His purpose for my life. So it's so important we know these things. So today in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to go through four verses for you. Praise God. She's third row up. Come on in, Daryl. Praise God. 2 Timothy 4, 5, there's like four verses that I want to share with you today. That little girl's getting prettier every day, man. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. So out of that one verse, I saw four activities that we should be doing as brothers and sisters in Christ in this last day. In that first part of verse 5, it says, but you keep your head in all kinds of situations. Anybody ever heard the pastor, Alex Bragg? He's on Wava on every morning. He's got that Scottish accent. Powerful speaker. Those of you that went through the Top Gun series, you probably heard several messages by him. But I looked up that he gave a commentary on this verse, and he talked about our head, different headed ways we can be. Because it says, keep your head in all situations. So if I gave you a definition, this right side of the sanctuary, if I gave you a definition, could you tell me what kind of head that would be? All right? If I said that someone was being puffed up or prideful, what kind of head would that be? Give it a shot. What is it? Big head. I'm looking for another word. Starts with an F. Fat-headed. All right. Praise God. So we got a little picture there of someone who might be an example of being fat-headed. Praise God. 1 Timothy 3:6 says, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited or fall under the same judgment as the devil. 1 Timothy 6:4, Paul, you know, 1 and 2 Timothy, we've been going through that all year. Praise God. I'm in the last chapter. In the first book of Timothy, he says they are conceited, understanding nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, and evil suspicions. Joe, that was a great picture, man. Praise God. All right, for the left side, I'll give you the definition of a headed person. Bouncing around to every doctrinal fad. What kind of head would you call that? I'm hearing six different words. Bobbleheaded. You got it, man. I got some bobbleheads at home from Baltimore Orioles. Praise God. All right, so bobbleheaded. What can I say about that in a verse? 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So important. Right side, next headed person. Getting involved in ignorant controversies. What kind of head would that be? Empty-headed, without a doubt. And 2 Timothy 2:23 says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because they produce quarrels. All right, left side, having a mind filled with immorality. Sick-headed, without a doubt. And he told Timothy this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days, for people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's the person that's sick that's involved in those things. And then the last one I had, responding to critics with sinful anger instead of gentleness. Hot-headed. Somebody on the left beat you guys, praise God. Hot-headed, praise God. Oh, boy. I didn't know about that guy till today. That's a good picture, Joe. Praise God. Hot-headed. If I looked at all the headed persons that I'm going over, this might be the one where I fell at different time. Italian, man. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone. Able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed, and hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. So you look at all those headed persons, which one would you fall prey to? Which one would you have trouble with, you know, in your life, you know, living this Christian life you're living to? And you're listening, God, I put the answer to all these, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we must be level-headed. We must be self-control. Stability is important. Steadiness and marks of a faithful brother or sister is important. So first, keep a clear head about everything. The second thing Paul is telling Timothy in that 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, endure hardship. You're going to go through hardship in your life. In the Sunday school class today, you know, Matt Chandler's telling us God works through pain. If you're suffering from something, if you have some kind of addiction in your life or something that's taking you captive in your life, God will work through that. He's allowing that to happen in your life so you will seek Him, so that you would want to know Him, so He could help you to get away from that addiction. So you have to keep a clear head. You have to endure hardship. Next, you must do a work of an evangelist. And that's what he says in that part of verse 5. Do the work of evangelist. And then the fourth thing he's telling Timothy, and he's telling us today, fulfill your ministry. When you receive Christ as your Savior, He's going to give you a ministry. Sanctification is a process that happens through your whole life. But if you want to fulfill your ministry and realize that God has a ministry for you, find out your passions. The Holy Spirit gives you passions. The Holy Spirit gives you gifts. Find out what He's given you and then go to work doing that. Tony Evans made this statement. One of the reasons so many of us are unfulfilled is that we are driving in the wrong lane. We operate in lanes of life that were never designed for us. We operate in purposes that were never designed for us. All exits are good exits, but not all exits are your exits. We don't get off at exits for no reason when we're driving. We decide to get off exits because they take us to our intended destination. We take exits that will lead us to where we're supposed to go. But many people, and I've seen it, many people miss their purpose because they take any old exit where they see lights. We should only take exits that takes us towards our destiny, towards our purpose, towards our calling. God has a work for you to do. The Holy Spirit will pour in things into you from God's Word to show you what He wants you to do for Him. So to fulfill your ministry was really Timothy's calling. That's what Paul's telling Timothy to do. He's urging him to complete his ministry. And I believe that the work Paul had for Timothy, and he's calling people in here the same thing, to boldly speak the gospel, to boldly share the things He wants you to share. Because all the things that He poured into Timothy in his first book and his second book, He wanted him to do the work. He wants Timothy to keep preaching the Bible. He wants Timothy to keep pointing people to Jesus and loving Christ's church. And to fulfill our ministry, we gotta avoid foolish controversies. We gotta avoid silly matters in the church. There was a missionary I found out in the 18th century. He said it this way: preach the gospel, die and be forgotten. In other words, complete your assignment and then go home to your Savior. So there's four daily activities. If you want to be faithful to the end, keep a clear head. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Because if you want to be faithful to the end, there's no shortcuts in the middle. Now, I'd like to conclude with verses 6 through 8. It's like Paul is issuing this charge in the light of his impending martyrdom, because Paul knew he was going to die for his faith. And he's urging Timothy to fulfill his ministry in verse 5. Now he's reflecting on his own ministry. Look at these powerful words in these next three verses, because I believe they're meant for every one of us sitting in here today. Because the time of our departure, we never know when it's going to be. Verse 6, he says, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. The time for my departure is near." So Paul is talking in the present tense, and he is telling Timothy this, that as believers in Christ, followers of Christ, we never really die. We just depart from this world. And I think Paul is longing to depart from this world and be with Christ. He wrote to the Philippian church, "I'm torn between the two," Paul says. "I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is better by far." So as believers, as we approach our days, maybe even our final days in this life, we can comfort in those words that Paul said. When we depart, we're going to be better off. Consider how Paul puts present suffering in its place with his heavenly vision. He said this in 2 Corinthians, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an internal glory which outweighs all the pain we've gone through, all the trials we're going through, all the suffering we're going through. It's achieving for us an internal glory." Verse 7, he's talking about the past. The past when he says, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." Wouldn't you want that on your tombstone? That's what I want on mine. "I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith." So Paul, he's looking back like with a triumphant attitude. And he uses three pictures from that fight, the good fight. Because about 30 years I studied that have passed since Paul was called to be a follower of Christ on that road to Damascus. In Acts 9:16, he says, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." And he finished the race. He told the Ephesian elders, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." And then he finishes up by saying, "I kept the faith. I kept the faith." Earlier he told Timothy, "Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching." He told Timothy, "Guard to what has been entrusted to you." So every Christian in general, or leaders in particular, should take heed to these words. We have to fight to endure. We have to race to run. And we have to treasure to guard. And then in verse 8, he talks about the future. And he said, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day," Paul is saying. "And not only to me, but also to all who long for his appearing." And I pray that as you grow in your walk with the Lord, you'll long for His appearing, long to want to be with Him, long to spend time with Him. So He doesn't stop Paul there talking about his own crown. He's talking about it's going to be for everybody who long for His appearing. And I'm going to be honest with you, man. If you don't know Christ, you're going to dread Christ's coming. But as believers, we long for it. We can't wait for it. This is that blessed hope that Titus talked about. The vision, you will keep running your race. Keep getting closer in your walk with Him. Keep running, keep fighting, keep guarding. And soon you will see Him as He is. Then you will see His scarred hands and look in His majestic eyes, and His lips will move. Literally, the Son of God's lips will move, and He will say, "Well done. Thank you for running the race. Thank you for keeping the faith. Thank you for guarding what has been trusted to you." And He's going to place a crown on your head, and on that day, you will not regret fighting. You will not regret running. You will not regret enduring for His name's sake. So that ends this series about being faithful, about being faithful to gather, about being faithful to get into His Word, about being faithful to pray, about being faithful to Jesus, being faithful to persecution. Now, I want to show you a video. It's 8 minutes long, and the staff, anybody here heard of Bill Hybels? He does the church in Chicago, Willow Creek. Great man of God, great preacher, great teacher. He's written several books. He did Contagious Christians, which I think is one of the greatest series on how to share the gospel. Well, in staff, we've been going through his new book called Simplify. And we watched a video the other day because I felt like it went with this message of being faithful, because he talks about being faithful with your finances. Now, I'd like you to see this video. Thank you, Joe.
One of the ways we get financially reconciled to God is to believe that all we have comes from His hand. Really, if you think about it, it all comes from God. It all belongs to God. When we're born, He gives us life. He gives us talents and abilities. He gives us educational opportunities and later on vocation or employment opportunities. And then if we honor Him and go His way, He blesses our life. And our earnings really are just a manifestation of the goodness and the providence of God. You would think the concept of living within your means is an easy one for people to grasp. I find that a lot of people get tripped up on this. And if people require a little extra tutoring, here's the way I try to help. I draw a line on a piece of paper and I say, if this is your current income, this is what I call God's provision for your life during this season. Think of it as God's provision level. Now, He's asking you to accept that and to live beneath that provision level, so there's a little margin in your life. And when people understand this, they go, "Oh, but it's hard for me to live underneath the amount of God's provision." And I say, well, that's where contentment comes in. And contentment is a virtue that can be cultivated in your life. You can actually come to a point where, like the Apostle Paul came to the point in his life, he said, "I've learned to be content when I have a lot of God's provision or when I have only a little of God's provision, and I live beneath that provision." Now, what some people do is they say, "Hey, God, I think you screwed up with my provision level. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use debt to add to the provision level that you should have given to me, but again, you had your wires crossed. So I'm going to go into debt to increase my provision level." And then we all know where that leads. There comes that day when, you know, you're a slave to that debt and you feel in bondage. And you look back at the time when you were content and lived within the means of God's provision, and you go, "Oh, I was smarter then. That was a better move." So if you can just keep in your mind, there is a current level of God's provision. And with contentment, you can live within that provision and live a joyful life and stay out of debt and bondage. Once a person is financially reconciled to God, they joyfully take the first tenth of their earnings and they return it to God. They give it for His purposes in this world. This is a bit of a priority test. It's a little test every 2 weeks or every month whenever your earnings come in. Then you say, I'm going to honor God. I'm reconciled with Him. I'm going to manage money His way. I'll take the first tenth of whatever He brings to me in earnings and I'll give it back to Him. Now, there's some faith involved in this. And I talk to a lot of people who get tripped up over this little step of faith. So someone says, hey, Bill, I'm a numbers guy. I know that it's going to take 100% of my income to get from A to B. I got to get to B. I got to help my kids through school. I got to save for retirement and all that. And I can't get it done. I can't get from A to B without 100% of my income. I go, wow. Okay, there you are. Someone else will come and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to trust God's wisdom. I'm going to obey His word. And by faith, I'm going to believe that I can get from A to B on 90% of my income. And God will not only get me from A to B on 90%, He will take me to C. There will be an additional place of favor and blessing because I've honored Him with the first 10% of all that I earn. Now that little equation, A to B on 100% or A to B to C on 90% with the 10 given to God, oh, this is the debate that has raged for a long time. Often these two kinds of individuals go to the same church. They've heard the same kind of teaching from God's word about this. And I laugh about this because secretly each of these individuals thinks the other is an idiot. Really? The guy who needs 100% to get from his A to his B, he looks at the guy trying to do it on 90% and goes, you're an idiot. You really think that God's going to be, you know, engaged in your life and He's going to honor you because of the tithe. You idiot. And then the other person who's the A to B to C on 90% looks at the other person and says, oh, I think you might be the idiot because you're never going to get to see. You're never going to have a story to tell of God's favor on your life. You're never going to lay your head on the pillow at night and know that you're doing your money management fully God's way. So when I make that little explanation to whoever will listen to me, the big question, of course, is what kind of idiot do you want to be? Because you're going to be one or the other of those idiots. And since I was about 18 years old, I decided, you know, I'm going to be that second kind of idiot. I'm going to say, God, it all belongs to you. And I'm going to honor you with the first tenth of all my earnings and believe by faith that you're going to take me from A to B and even to this place called C. That doesn't necessarily mean money. It just means favor and blessing and protection. And for what it's worth, the story of my life has been about God being faithful, taking me from B to a place called C more times than I could count. Maybe 35 years ago, when I was the only one at my church who was helping people kind of budget and figure out how to do money management God's way, I remember one time saying, look, let me just simplify this. Let me make it just as simple as I possibly can. First 10% of all you earn goes to honor God with the tithe. Second goes towards savings. Every pay period, you pay yourself. Instead of just blowing that second 10%, pay yourself and then live on the 80. So I just called it the 10, 10, 80 plan. Made it up. I'd never heard of it before. But that idea of savings goes all the way back in the book of Proverbs where the writer one time says, hey, look at the ant. The ant is smarter than you think that the ant is. Might not have a big brain, but the brain works really well because the ant knows that it's got to set aside some savings, if you will, some stores during the summer because winter's coming. And I often ask my friends, do you have any awareness of the fact that winter is coming? There's going to be an unexpected expense. There's going to be an illness. Something is going to happen that's going to overturn your financial apple cart. When you have been diligent with saving over a long period of time, when those speed bumps come, you can live with a lot less anxiety because you've been saving diligently all throughout the course of your year. And if you've been doing this all throughout the course of your life, then when your earnings time comes to an end, well, you have those stores set aside for your later years. Finally, just overall, you know, when you are fully reconciled to God financially, you're living within your means, you're giving Him the credit, you're saving and giving, and so there's a kind of financial peace that sweeps over your life, that sweeps over your soul. You sleep really well at night, and it's just a part of your life that can bring you joy instead of this low range kind of chronic anxiety. And God's rooting for you to live in peace.
That teaching really moved me in the staff meeting a couple weeks ago, and that's why I wanted to show it, because I looked at that video and I looked at the staff and I said, when I think of my life, I think I'm like an F or G. I mean, He's just blessed me so much, and I just go back to how important it is to be faithful. It's just, when you come to church, you're acknowledging that you love Him, you're acknowledging you're one of His kids, and you want to show the world that you love the Lord and that you want Him to work through you. And I pray for that for us here. I mean, it's hard for me to put it into words, the blessings I feel every day in my life. It's just hard. I know I make mistakes. I know I do dumb things, but I know how important forgiveness is and know how hard unforgiveness is, and the things that God teaches me in His Word, it just fills you up. So I hope this faithfulness series will help you to understand those things, and you can see them in your listening guide. Ushers, if you want to come forward. I mean, it's Christmas morning for me right now. I get to share the Word with you. I get to pray for you. I get to be here for you. And I just thank the Lord for the opportunity. I don't think I deserve it, but I just want to be faithful. Father, I ask You to bless this offering, Lord. Thank You for this series of messages, Father. Help us to understand what the writer of Hebrews says. Without faith, it's impossible to please You. And I truly think in my mind, without being faithful, it's impossible to please You. For he that comes to Him, he who believes in You, he who wants to be Your child, Father, has to realize that when we come to You, you are a rewarder to them who diligently seek You, Father. So, Father, I pray for each one, each member here, Lord, each person that calls this place their church home, or even somebody might be visiting today, to understand and realize how important faithfulness is. How important that You want to have a relationship with us. Gosh, and You speak to us through Your Word. You speak to us through the Holy Spirit. You guide us, Father. You light our path, Father. And You teach us how to drag darkness into the light, because that's how we can overcome darkness. And You are the light of the world, Father. So, Father, thank You for that, Father. And I ask You to bless our offering and those that give, Father. Bless them, show them, redeem them. Show them how to take care of their finances. Show them how important it is to give to You and to save and to pay our bills and be diligent. Father, teach us how to work hard. Your Word says whatever we do, we should work at it with all our heart. Father, because we know You give to those. You are a rewarder of them, Father. So thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody who needs prayer for anything, this altar's open.
Sweet.